Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
A book that's ostensibly about not just UFOs, but a whole host of other things. Now, I want to look at a few of the chapters here, which interest me. So, Underground Humanoids. Sounds like we're almost getting into the Deros and Tiros there. What are they?
Yeah, that's actually a reference to Benny. He had this experience at the end of the 60s where he saw a couple of tall men in white clothes coming up from a mine. And in this chapter, I'm talking a little bit about underground creatures in general in Sweden, mostly in folklore. You have the, I don't know how to translate it, the mine wife, a woman who lives down in the mines and kind of take care of the mines, and you need to behave or a disaster can strike. And all, you know, you have trolls. There's always been stories about trolls, and I mean the good Swedish trolls, not the internet trolls, of course, where trolls build tunnels underground and they keep their gold and valuables down there. I'm fascinated by it. There's not so much stories about it, you know, not so much of that kind of creatures in Sweden. It mostly deals with ghosts and nature spirits who loves to hang out in caves and mines.
Yeah, here in the United States, the underground aspect of the UFO phenomena really was a big thing, especially in the 1950s into the 60s with, you know, people such as Richard Shaver and Ray Palmer, and some of it still exists, I think, today in, you know, UFO pop culture. But the one story that you had in your book about the kids who were building a fort near an abandoned mine and ended up being chased by some weird figures that came out. I mean, that smacks of some of these stories that came out within UFO lore, especially in the 1960s.
Yeah, for sure. I think I might even mention Deros and Teros in mm-hmm. the chapter. Because we have so few of these stories in Sweden, you know, I had to take a look at it. And in this case, I actually found one of the boys, Benny, who was present at this, to interview him so many years after. And I noticed that the story hadn't changed much, actually. What he did was kind of taking it down a notch, because the first version of it I read was quite spectacular. These creatures kind of looked like more like 3 meter tall greys with owl faces, something like that. But he kind of took it down a notch, and to me, it turned even weirder, and so I'm very happy to have talked with him, mostly because he tells the same story, just much more realistically than what I originally heard.
That's one of these situations where you wonder, you know, has time kind of smoothed his memory over a little bit, and, you know, over the years he's tried to rationalize it, thus making the figures not quite as, I mean, they weren't scary looking, but the fact that they looked weird and chased the boys when they ran, you know, is enough that it makes you wonder that as he grew up that he tried to rationalize what had happened a little more.
could be, you know, and especially since the first version written down was written down by a person who, you can say, often exaggerated stories. So maybe Benny wanted to bring it down a little bit, to rationalize it a little bit. On the other hand, he talked a lot with me about the experiences he had after all the flying saucers. He saw often, you know, like golden flying discs above his home or near his home. So it's not like he tried to rationalize the experiences he had after this. These are stuff that he really, really embraces. So I find the story itself a little bit of a mystery, but I really want to go up there to the location one day, because as usual I would like to visit it and see for myself what did the boys see. I mean, it's so many years later, so it probably won't even look the same nowadays. But I'm curious to go there with him actually and see what comes to his mind when we're there.
Have you run into other cases, and they don't have to be UFO cases, you know, it was just, you know, anything along the lines of what we like to talk about, where it would be similar, where somebody would have an encounter, you know, either as a kid or really even as an adult, and it seemed them to open up a whole new world of experiences to them. You know, it's like then they become a magnet for these sorts of bizarre experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. In the chapter Aliens Attack, I write about Ante Jonsson. Ante was driving home late one night in 1984. He's been, you know, spending time with friends, and it's winter, it's pretty dark, he drives quite slowly. Suddenly he sees this big black UFO hovering near the road out on a field. And he, you know, he's a photographer. The first thing he thinks about is, damn, why didn't I bring my camera? So he drives home, he gets the camera, and goes back. Of course the UFO is gone by now. And he drives around trying to find it, and he almost crashes into another UFO that suddenly hovers above the world. He crashes with a car down into the snow, and after that he's basically attacked by a gang of dwarf-like creatures. They're dragging him towards a smaller UFO. So it's a very dramatic experience he have there in 1984. You know, he managed to break free. There's actually some collaborating witnesses to this. So he didn't, you know, made it up. There is something more to it. So the years after this, he begins to have a series of spectacular experiences. He basically becomes a contactee. So space people, whoever they are, contacts him. They give him gifts. They bring him, you know, they take them with him on journeys out in the universe. So for him, this was like a huge, you know, it opened up to so much more than this first initial attack, which was of course quite traumatic. So Ante's story is like one of a kind. He's passed away by now, but he didn't really make, you know, any money of this or anything. He kind of kept to himself, and he's one of the few contactees, at least here in Sweden, who said that he loved for these things to happen. This made him a happier person.
You know, when it comes to abductions, that happens sometimes, where the experience is at first rejected and then over time accepted. This is kind of what we heard in the book Communion from Whitley Strieber, that he seemed to welcome their arrival. Of course, that could be just mind control, whatever's causing it. Fred Anderson, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. This means you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So when people have UFO abductions, it's all in their mind, you think?
I don't want to. In Ante's case, the guy I talk about, you know, right now, I'm not so sure. I think it could have been a physical experience, but to me, it seems maybe you know more than me, but to me it seems so often that the experience is something, you know, it's inside. I mean, you can have your partner sleeping beside you in bed and they never notice that you're gone, or, you know, similar things. So it's more an inner experience, and once again, it doesn't mean it's not real. It's just it happens on a different level of our existence, of our reality. I really don't know. You know, I'm kind of confused by it, to be honest, because on one hand, you know, on one side, I think there's some really, really interesting and convincing stories by serious people out there. And at the same time, oh, these stories came out from hypnosis, and I'm not so sure I trust, you know, that kind of technique, to be honest.
No, Cass says you blame you on that. The whole using hypnosis to try to gain memories from abduction experiences, this always seems suspicious to me.
As you know, we've had a number of conversations about that, and we did interview one prominent UFO researcher a few times on the PowerCast, Dr. David Jacobs, who relies on hypnosis. And I remember I asked him about the possibility or the danger of leading questions, which would cause someone to try to remember something that didn't happen. And then he says, there are no leading questions. That destroyed his argument, I think, for most people. But we accept the fact that hypnotic regression is difficult, and you can't be 100% certain or even 50% certain you're getting the right information.
The thing is also that I mean, don't underestimate our own imagination here. I've been here under hypnotic regression once, and I agreed to do a past life regression. I did it as a part of experiment because I wanted to know how it felt and how it worked. And that guy didn't ask any questions at all. He basically told me, what do you see in front of you? And I started to see things within, and told a quite, you know, beautiful story about a past life, you know, like 1,000 years ago or something like that. And that kind of, you know, I was impressed by the result. I was, but I'm still not sure if it was it just me making things up there, you know, under hypnosis. I'm not sure.
You have a chapter in your book where you're trying to track down the case of the dead alien.
Yeah.
and it involves a mutual friend of ours, the late Timothy Green Beckley. Why don't you tell us about this story? Because I just found the whole process fascinating.
Yeah, I love this story, you know. I think I first read about it on the internet. I might have been Albert S. Rosales who posted about it, and the headline was something in the style of, you know, Dead Humanoid in Sweden, 1955. And first of all, I thought, if there were a dead humanoid in Sweden, 1955, I would know about it. We would know about it. So I started to dig into this story. And almost by chance, I actually found the original report, which was in the Swedish UFO magazine, UFO Information. And they had quoted it from a Danish magazine from the same year. And that story is told by someone from a Danish UFO organization who heard this story from an anonymous man at some kind of convention. And I was so curious about this, because in his report there is some details that you can kind of pinpoint the location or the part of Sweden where this happened, which is It's a UFO crash where a couple of forest workers encountered a short being who talked Swedish, actually, which they mentioned. And he's dying, and his last wish is that they would kind of put him in some kind of bag or wrapping and put him in the water, and there he would, you know, dissolve, basically. After some digging around, I mean, we have a wonderful Swedish researcher, Håkan Blomqvist, who's very, very into history, and he recommended me a book about written by a contactee, and the title of the book, actually, I don't have it in my mind at the moment, but tells quite similar story. And I wonder if this anonymous man who told it to Jon LaFontaine, the Danish UFO guy, if he got inspiration from that, or if it's just a coincidence. Anyway, the reason why I wrote this chapter is that I couldn't stop myself. I had to see, is there any truth behind it? I do not think there is any truth behind it, to be honest, because we need the original witness, the guy who experienced this. And he's lost, he's gone. We don't know who it is, you know.
Now, the name was, what was it? Was it LaFontaine? No, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what it was? I mean, you know, Tim Beckley had this in his early UFO Universe magazine, and a lot of people who wrote for Tim would write a number of articles for each issue using pen names. That, you know, have one that would be their real name, and then several others that would be a pen name. So who knows if who this person actually could have been.
Just for the listeners, as a guidance, I kind of helped out on that magazine. I did the actual commercial typography of it. And then Tim would go ahead and publish it. But, of course, in the course of doing that, I did some mild copy editing. I couldn't resist. So I have no idea how much of what you read I had a minor contribution for. But this goes back, you know, 400 years or something. In the old days. I mean, I knew Tim when the cavemen were dwelling, and the cave women, and all the other cave people. So that was a long time ago. I do remember UFO Universe and the incredible number of fascinating articles that were in it. Fred, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
USA News Update. Turning now to politics, a new poll out pertaining to President Trump and all the legal action he faces. USA's Jerry Barmash with details.
Many Americans think another federal indictment could hamper former President Trump's chances in the 2024 election. In the Harvard Caps Harris poll, 57% of those surveyed think federal charges related to the January 6th riot at the Capitol and attempts to overthrow the 2020 election would hurt Trump at the ballot box.
The Mega Millions Millions jackpot Tuesday night is estimated at a cool $820 million after not one ticket hit all five numbers in the Mega Ball Friday night. The numbers to check your tickets this weekend for smaller prizes, 29, 40, 47, 50, 57, and Mega Ball number 25. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Of course, we also have to respect the fact that UFO Universe was one of a number of newsstand magazines on different fringe or very specific niche products there. And they were put out not because they were designed to inform anyone, but to earn advances from the distributor. The more books you put out, the more advances you received. And hopefully they'd earn out. But otherwise, you keep the money flowing. You know, you got 10 books out there, you get your advance from the distributor. Okay, say you got $10,000 for 10 books. And you get that every month or two. That's a pretty good thing. And you keep it going until at the end, the money loss is so high, the distributor says, cut this off. I don't know how legal that was, but that's the way it worked. Of course, now there's no such thing anymore.
I'm so curious when I sit with you here, guys, and because I mentioned Gray Barker and Beckley and these kind of characters, and I do not remember now if I called them tricksters in the book, because I mean I absolutely love Gray Barker, for example, but he has some kind of trickster personality. You're not always sure what's true or not, and I like that a lot. Would you say that characters like that, to me, they're as important, you know, in this subject, in this culture, as, let's say, more serious researchers or, you know, scientists or experiences? And I'm not saying that Barker and Beckley wasn't serious, but they had for sure their own personality.
I think Gray was more of a trickster than Beckley. Beckley was pretty straight ahead in what he published. But with Gray Barker, after his first book, they knew too much about flying saucers. And then he did his magazine, Saucerian. He started to take the subject less seriously and extrapolated. Now, the book he did on the Mothman in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the Silver Bridge. It was really a trip. It was a mind trip. And you may get the feeling or understand the metaphor of what happened, but it wasn't a specific tale of the events. For that, you have to go to the John Keel book. Now, Gray sadly left us in the 80s, but he was an incredible talent, a great writer. But once again, he was not a journalist.
Obviously, I mean, I think he was a great storyteller. I mean, everything I've read about him, I absolutely love. The Silver Bridge, however, I haven't read. I've been trying to locate a copy, but I want to own an original copy, and they're very, very expensive, I noticed.
I don't know where my copy of The Silver Bridge is. I have no idea. I know it is somewhere out there in the haze, and maybe somebody has a copy. I don't know where mine went, but I enjoyed reading it. This is going back to the 1960s. But let's talk about that since we kind of jumped into Gray Barker. The Mothman. Is this, again, some kind of cultural thing that occurred in Point Pleasant? Some suggest it was really equivalent to a banshee warning of death ahead of the collapse of the bridge. What's your take?
I think Mothman could have been real. I wouldn't go so far that I think he or she was some kind of harbinger of death or doom in relationship to the Silver Bridge. But I do feel the monster or creature or being itself could have been something that's around or what was around. Maybe I'm naive, but I really don't buy the explanation that it was, you know, an owl or some kind of other big bird or something like that. I've also read a lot about, you know, more modern sightings in connection to the O'Hare International Airport, and I'm, you know, everything I read about that, it's kind of mind twisting because it's so convincing. It's good reports, but I'm not sure if I should read it as real events or if it's some kind of, you know, new Mothman lore being created by hoaxes. I'm not sure about that. But I do think the original, events in the 60s is based on something physical, something real, something that was there.
What was there at O'Hare Airport? This is 2006, by the way, the first year that the Paracast debuted. So we did cover it at the time, and we had various analyses. Now, at the time, the National Aviation Reporting Center on Anomalous Phenomena, which is NARCAP, published a 155-page report. They called for a government inquiry and improved energy sensing techniques. See, the key being here, their concern, I'll quote, any time an airborne object can hover for several minutes over a busy airport but not be registered on radar or seen visually from the control tower constitutes a potential threat to flight safety. Of course, that assumes it's a solid object. Well, nobody cares.
Well, I mean, have you heard about the Mothman sightings around the airport? That's been reported quite extensively by, I think it's called Singular 14, which is quite it's interesting stuff, I think.
I've heard of doubts about a Chicago-based Mothman, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Absolutely, you know. But, I mean, the Silver Bridge, the Point Pleasant, I mean, it's stories that still lives on. And, you know, I find that so powerful and kind of, I mean, it's true Americana, according to me. I think Mothman is the even more American than Bigfoot in that way.
Well, you know, the basic thing that happened at Point Pleasant, though, is frightening. It tells about the problems with the infrastructure in the U.S. We have a bridge that collapsed due to structural problems, possible defects. There are probably thousands and thousands of silver bridges in this country that may also collapse. Not because of some kind of accident like the incident at I-95 in Philadelphia recently. I mean, people go over these bridges every day to go to work, to go home, to go to the supermarket. How many of those may crash under the right circumstances or the wrong circumstances? It creates a frightening image. And nobody learned so much from the Silver Bridge. Not that it wasn't rebuilt, it was. Nobody learned from it to make things better so we don't have problems like that. Maybe Mothman was telling us something, giving us a warning, but we don't listen. That would be an interesting encounter there.
Well, unfortunately, that's the way people are, though. We never do anything until it's too late.
That's it. We're always chasing our tails. We're always trying to keep up with the mess that's 5 yards ahead of us. We don't prevent crime. We just try to solve it with varying degrees of success. We don't prevent car crashes. I guess we try to, with safety equipment and seatbelts and stuff like that. But we still can't prevent all of it. We can't predict any of it, except in general terms. And when it comes to some kind of disaster involving the structure, and I have to ask about Europe, whether it's worse or better, what can we do about it? Now, supposedly, they're spending money to rebuild infrastructure in the U.S. We've got more to come with Fred, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline.
airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment, and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a one-week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this one-week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Of course, when I bring up the Mothman as a message or a warning, I think about what Ray Palmer, the sci-fi and flying saucer research pioneer, said so many years ago, over and over and over again, flying saucers are here to make us think. Fred, have you heard that? What do you think they're here for?
They're here to make us think. I think they're here to make us explore ourselves, explore the world, to be curious. Because, I mean, the UFO phenomenon itself is such a great mystery. When you read about it or you see something, it triggers so much more. I'm not so sure they have like a more typical, traditional purpose, like breeding with the women or something like that, you know, or finding minerals or whatever. I think it's way more symbolic. It's more a way to push us in curious directions and make us have fun, you know, because what's life without mysteries? I mean, for me, I'm totally fine with never getting an answer to all of this, you know. I feel that the mystery itself is kind of the point with it all.
Yeah, is there a point? that's just it. As we have discussed in today's show, there's so much diversity in this phenomena, in these encounters, that I think trying to find one singular explanation for all of it is not going to work.
No, and you have to look way beyond that, you know. And I think I'm maybe not using the word dangerous, but I think it's counterproductive to just try to look at one solution, one answer. You know, at the moment, people are stuck with the ET hypothesis and whistleblowers, and I think it's like, don't get stuck on that. Look at other things, you know. I think it's so much larger, everything about this.
Yeah, here in the United States, with stories such as, you know, the whistleblower, the media always leaps onto the spaceships from other planets, you know, aliens, extraterrestrials. And to me, it's very frustrating. That has become the be-all, do-all for UFOs. You know, it's either spaceships from other planets or some kind of man-made secret technology. Nothing else, folks.
yeah, for sure. I guess that's somehow in our nature nowadays, mankind's nature in current times, to find I'm not saying a simple solution, but then, you know, some kind of solution which is not too complicated. Maybe it just seems too weird to think out. I mean, it's weird enough with extraterrestrials, but, you know, when you go into ultra-terrestrials, you know, it's even weirder. So maybe people stay away from it just because it's too far out. Personally, I find it more rewarding to look into all kinds of explanations or non-explanations. It doesn't matter, really. I like I said, I love the mystery. The mystery is awesome.
So now your book is called Northern Lights, High Strangeness in Sweden, and it hasn't been out for too long now, but what's been the reaction so far to it?
It's been good. You know, this is the scariest thing ever to publish a book. I've had, I'm not going to say, you know, nervous breakdown, but close, you know, because you work on something for quite a long time and then you get it published. You're lucky to have it published and you're just waiting for people's opinion. And I read a couple of comments on Amazon and on social media, and people, to my surprise, because I'm a skeptical person, they love it. They think it's great. They love that it has such a different approach to the phenomenon, to the subject. They like that it's quite personal, because I always write from a very personal viewpoint. So it's been positive so far, and I'm very, very happy because of that, of course.
So what's next? Okay, the book's been written. Are you planning another one, or are you continuing with your blog? I mean, what's in the future? What's the future hold for you?
Well, I hope to write another book. I'm not entirely sure what to write about. At the moment, I'm focusing on, I'm going to be one of the speakers on an online conference in September called Anomacon. And this is my first online conference, and I'm desperately trying to figure out something to talk about. and I'm also working on, I'm the researcher and story producer, etc., on a new Swedish documentary TV show about the UFO phenomenon. And we're going to start filming quite seriously next week. So that will take up a lot of my time. So I don't think I will write anything until that's done, you know.
So now, will this be a series or one, one documentary of an hour or more?
It will be a four-part documentary series, you know, 1 hour with advertising for TV4, which is a big TV channel here in Sweden. And we're going to, you know, we have a very curious approach because the subject itself, it's not so, let's say, not so accepted in Sweden, you know. Here people mostly think about tinfoil hats, and we would like to, you know, paint a picture of the subject, of the phenomenon, and see, you show how interesting it is, you know. It's not just crazy people. This is something really, I mean, the phenomenon is clearly for real. People are seeing and experiencing stuff. So yeah, absolutely. I have great hopes for this project, and I'm a little bit nervous, of course. How will people, you know, how will they? I can't find the words in English. what will they think about it? But I'll see you next year, you know.
Right.
We'll have to stay in touch with you, Fred, because it sounds real fascinating. When we have you for the After the Paracast podcast, I want to talk more about the comparison of government attitudes in Sweden to those of the U.S., because I think that would be fascinating, because I think people in America don't really understand Europe that much unless they go back and forth. It's like another universe, just like we are probably another universe or a nightmare to visitors from other parts of the world. So somebody, Fred Anderson, wants to get a hold of you and learn more about what you do, where can they check you out?
the best way, you can visit my homepage. It's fredandersson.se, or on Twitter and Instagram, where I have the colorful nickname Homo Satanist, which is something from my past when I did a lot of esoteric stuff. But there I share a lot of high strangeness and weirdness and books, and often quite old school. So please join me there. I love to meet new people.
We're definitely going to look forward to that. You can find us on Threads, the Paracast, on Twitter, the Paracast, on Facebook, the Paracast, or at least in terms of Twitter, it's until Elon Musk gets tired of me and says, go. But you know what? I'll take a Tesla car to pay me off. Seriously speaking, actually, I once rode in a Tesla Model 3, but you don't want to hear that. In any case, you can also check out our online store for branded merchandise, theparacast.store, theparacast.shop. And if you want to get a version of the show without the network ads with better quality audio, check out the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus for more information. Special deal. We also give you the After the Paracast podcast. And if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount on 5-year or lifetime subscriptions. Rates go up August 1st, so act now. That's the Paracast.plus. Fred Anderson, really good to meet you. Your book is just superbly written. Thank you for writing it, and thank you for being on the Paracast.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.